The Law and the Gospel. Chapter 39. The Coming of the Seed. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, there is no question, of course, but that this seed is Christ. The 16th verse plainly says so. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. Then what is the coming of the seed? Some have supposed it to be Christ's first advent, but a little study will show that the second advent is here spoken of. The seed is never mentioned except in connection with the promise, and the promise is fulfilled only at the second coming of Christ. The following text and argument will make this appear. Bruising the serpent's head. The Lord, in pronouncing the curse upon the serpent, Satan, said, And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It, the seed, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, many years after Christ had come and had ascended to heaven, said, And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The bruising of a serpent's head is its destruction. But this was not accomplished at Christ's first advent, but was something still future. The destruction of Satan begins only at Christ's second coming. Possessing the gate of the enemies. Again, in the promise to Abraham it was said, And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. This was not fulfilled at the first advent of Christ. On the contrary, he was then delivered into the hands of his enemies, and they did to him whatsoever they would. He will possess the gate of his enemies only when the following promise is fulfilled. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, you shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And this is fulfilled at Christ's second advent, when he takes vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel, as is described by the Revelator. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Thus he possesses the gate of his enemies, possession of the earth. Again, another part of the promise to the seed was that he should possess the whole earth. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, You are my son. This day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Here the uttermost parts of the earth are promised to Christ for a possession. Also see. And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes, and look from the place where you are northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. For the promise, that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham, or to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. But when Christ was on earth, he possessed not so much as a place where he could lay his head. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. When, however, the seventh angel sounds, when the mystery of God is to be finished, then it will be said, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and of his Christ. The 18th verse says that this is at the time of the dead, that they should be judged. showing conclusively that it is at the second coming of Christ. Still further, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the promise of the earth to Christ is directly associated with his second coming. The prophet foretells the captivity of the Jews, the succession of the four universal monarchies, and the setting up of the kingdom of God, as follows. And you, profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end, thus says the Lord God, remove the diadem, and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more, until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. The diadem was taken from the king of Israel when he and his people were carried away to Babylon. At that time Babylon was a universal monarchy. Then three overturnings are mentioned, which reach to the second coming of Christ. Thus 1. The first overturning made Medo-Persia a universal dominion. 2. The second gave the dominion of the world to Grecia. And 3. The third overturning made the empire of Rome fill the world. This was the state of things at Christ's first advent, and for 400 years later, and the prophet declared that there should be no more general revolution, until he come whose right it is. Note the parallel between this and the clause in Galatians 3 which says, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. We think there can be no question but that in the latter passage the second coming of Christ is referred to. All families of the earth to be blessed. Once more, the promise to the seed was that in him all the families of the earth should be blessed. This of course could not be fulfilled as long as any wicked are in existence. But when Christ comes, sitting on the throne of his glory, to destroy sinners out of the earth, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the above quotations and references it will be seen that the promises to the seed are not fulfilled until the second coming of Christ. They all culminate at his second advent. It was willful forgetfulness of this fact that caused the Jews to reject Christ. They read the promises to the seed, promises of glorious triumph, and applied them to the coming of the Messiah. And when they saw none of those promises fulfilled in him, they rejected him. Let us not, like them, fall into grievous error by referring to his first advent those promises to be fulfilled only at his second glorious coming. That was the time of his humiliation, not of his triumph. Christ then came as an offering for sin, and not as the seed to whom the promise was made. When he comes the second time, he comes as King of kings and Lord of lords. He comes to take possession of the gates of his enemies, whom he will dash in pieces as a potter's vessel. He comes to take possession of his inheritance, even the uttermost parts of the earth, and to receive as his own a great multitude whom no man can number. In short, he comes as the seed to whom the promise was made.